And what the people is told is what the people believes. My people receive regular death threats, attempt at same, lawsuits, and formal satanic cult curses. But then, Sheila's, Satan claims the label of Morning Star and Prince of Light. Can you not see how it works? You must always discern by the energy flow and insight measured against the laws of God and creation if you will be knowing enough to know thine enemy. End of Hatton's quote. According to its own literature, the ADL has rammed hate crime bills through the legislatures in all but four states in the United States and has been paid undisclosed amounts of money by the FBI and hundreds of state and local police agencies to teach them how to detect hate crimes. Through this latter process, the American dope lobby has subverted American law enforcement to the core. The ADL has flaunted its use of gangster money to run its penetration and subversion of the American judicial system. Jailed insider traders Michael Milken and Ivan Boisky were big-time backers of the ADL hate crime hoax, as was accused narco-dollar launderer Edmund Safra of the Republic National Bank of New York. Hatton also, for what it may be worth, Ross Perot was a large contributor also. Bootlegger's son, Edgar Bronfman, a pivotal figure worldwide in the Nazi hunting drive, for years ran the ADL's fundraising effort in New York. In the mid-1980s, Murder, Inc. mobster Morris Dollitz was honored by the ADL's Torch of Liberty Award for his generous funding of the league through his racketeering empire. Narco-dollar power base. In fact, the key to ADL power inside and outside the government is the cloud of narco-dollars in the American banking system and economy. Former ADL National Chairman Kenneth Balkin, a big-shot Wall Street lawyer, was the architect of Robert Vesco's Caribbean drug smuggling and money laundering empire. Paren, Hatton, which, of course, with the information outlaid for you, you can trace right to the inside of the White House. No, I am not going to repeat it all herein. Get the Tangled Web series and the original journals, and you will have it all via authentic, confirmed sources. We cannot longer do regular catch-ups, for we are so very short of time and space in which to accomplish the amount of work yet waiting. I am pleased indeed that some of the past urgent and important early writings of the Express and Liberator will be republished, for if you are a recent reader, you are far, far behind. The ADL's links to federal, state, and local police and prosecutors must be severed, given the League's close ties to international drug traffickers. This is an urgent matter of national security. The scandals of the Demjanjuk case and the hate crime bill offer the best opportunity to sever those ties and put the gangsters of the ADL behind bars where they belong. End of quoting. Pope in the hospital for repairs. Is it not interesting that right now the Pope set up by the adversary for the current position is now going to be hospitalized for repairs of some sort of thing relative to his assassination attempt many years past. Chiles, if you missed this one, you are blind as salamanders. Earthquakes. Indeed, this yesterday earthquake in Mojave, California was important. Recall I warned you about any quakes on or near the Garlock Fault must be watched most carefully. Note further that it was, as were the prior two major quakes, over strategic areas of underground facilities, and the side quakes were not distractors but very, very on target, such as the massive underground facility at 29 Palms, the Marine Base, Ridgecrest, China Lake Naval Base, and largest of all the California underground secret facilities, and now California City, right at Edwards Dooryard. This indicates many things, but not the least of which is terminal backfeed amplifier contact, well planned and well tested now. Note other news bears a big show and tell of photon energy and even demonstrate the need for special extra darkened goggles and intense enhancement of recent photon laser beams, quote, which are intended for use as aircraft thrust systems. Pay attention, and between the lines you will find all the confirmation of truth which you will need. Watch various players, and you will even find the culprits by what they are doing and where. Sumerians. There is one assault against my scribe which I intend to put to rest right now. We are again bombarded by ones accusing us of stealing Zechariah Sitchin material. What mean ye, readers and discounters? I have not even gotten into the erroneous conclusions of this author, and typical of the adversary, always the arrows fly, you are showing your own ignorance, and readers will not long be intimidated nor impressed by your rantings and ravings. Thank you, MMOL, for the following, which I shall simply copy, for this person went and did some homework for you. The Sumerians, a lost civilization found. About 30 years ago, archaeologists unearthed the civilization of the Sumerians. Sumeria was located just north of what was part of Palestine, bordering countryside. This region then became known as Mesopotamia. Much data, more than 6,000 years old, has been recovered and interpreted as the result of brilliant work by the authors of several books on Sumerians. He was able to decipher and spell out their language. The location of this find was at the place of Sumer in modern Iraq. Among the many branches of knowledge that have been enriched by the Sumerian text was that of astronomy. Answers to questions that astronomers and scientists have been unable to fathom in the course of our civilization were brought to light. From the Sumerian text, the history, customs, culture, and religion have become known. It has been learned that Samaria was overcome in battle by the Hebrew tribe from south of their border, they being completely dominated and overrun by the Hebrews. A study of the Hebrew culture and religion and a comparison with that of the Sumerians has revealed in their text, dating back thousands of years before any known history of the Hebrew tribe, discloses the unmistakable truth that the Hebrew culture and religion had been taken over from the Sumerians and made the Hebrew culture and religion. In other words, the Hebrews had appropriated the culture and religion of the Sumerians and proclaimed these newly found Sumerian accomplishments as their own, especially the religion from that time forward. In his book, Christ Was Not a Jew, the author states that the Galileans were descended from the Sumerians and were different from the Judeans to the south. The people of Galilee were not Hebrew, but in the course of time had adapted the Hebrew religion. We might even speculate that they had retained some remnants of the long-forgotten religion of Sumeria, the real origin of the Hebrew religion. The Hebrew religion became known as Judaism, and later, actually only in the early 18th century, were the Judeans called Jews. However, since that time, translators of the Bible have used the word Jew back to the beginning of the Bible, using it in place of Judean. The early leaders of the Hebrew tribe, close to the time of their embracing the Sumerian religion, knew what they were about. They wrote their history and biblical stories to conform to their newfound religion, effectively blotting out the history of Sumeria to whom had been given the knowledge of the true God thousands of years before. That Sumeria had ever existed was wholly forgotten. It can be concluded that the Jews knew in Christ's own time that he was not a Jew and have known since then. But it has been a great advantage to the Jewish cause for them to further this belief, since it implies a permanent superiority of the Jew over the Christian subconsciously in the minds of Christians, while a Jew himself has continued as a group to despise Christianity. The Hebrew people were a tribe whose history is known only back a few centuries B.C. They were not capable of the high civilization attained by the Sumerians. The religion of Sumeria was akin to Christianity in many aspects. This above writing was written and sent to me on June the 24th, 1992, and I thank you greatly, for Dharma is totally baffled by the information I give her, and after a few arrow piercings, she can get pretty upset with the world as it is, and Hatton. The next is equally informative and eye-opening, and you don't have to believe a bodiless voice or writing fingers. However, not to be lessened is the, quote, moving finger writes and having writ moves on, and the handwriting on the wall by a bodiless, aimless, armless hand. Pundit, Chilas, where there is smoke, there was actually some kind of fire. Christ was not a Jew. Excerpts from Pontius Pilate's report. The official documents of historical records made in the days of Jesus Christ, the Arco volume in the Congressional Library in Washington, D.C. These eyewitnesses, Pontius Pilate, testified Jesus did not look. This eyewitness, Pontius Pilate, testified Jesus did not look, think, or act like a Jew. You also have to know, if you go and get hands on this document, that you will find the label Jesus to be explained as translated later. Also, were errors made in reference to the Jews as translated from Judeans. I simply want you to note this material is in the Congressional Library in Washington, D.C. What else has been kept from your eyes and ears? 2. Tiberius Caesar, Emperor of Rome, noble sovereign, greeting. Quote, among the various rumors that came to my ears, there was one in particular that attracted my attention. A young man, it was said, had appeared in Galilee preaching with a noble unction a new law in the name of the God that had sent him. At first I was apprehensive that his design was to stir up the people against the Romans, but my fears were soon dispelled. Isu, translated Jesus, of Nazareth, spoke rather as a friend of the Romans than of the Judeans, erroneously translated Jews. One day, in passing by the place, I observed in the midst of the group a young man who was leaning against a tree, calmly addressing the multitude. I was told it was Isu Emmanuel. This I could easily have suspected, so great was the difference between him and those listening to him. His golden-colored hair and beard gave to his appearance a celestial aspect. He appeared to be about 30 years of age. Never have I seen a sweeter or more serene countenance. What a contrast between him and his hearers with their black beards and tawny complexions. Never have I read in the works of the philosophers anything that can compare to the maxims of Isu, one of the rebellious Judeans so numerous in Jerusalem. Having asked Isu if it was lawful to give tribute to Caesar, he replied, render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. I wrote to Isu requesting an interview with him at the Praetorium. He came. You know that in my veins flows the Spanish mixed with Roman blood, as incapable of fear as it is of weak emotion. When the Nazarene made his appearance, I was wailing in my basilic, and my feet seemed fastened with an iron hand to the marble pavement, and I trembled in every limb as does a guilty culprit, though the Nazarene was as calm as innocence itself. When he came up to me, he stopped, and by a signal sign he seemed to say to me, I am here, though he spoke not a word. For some time I contemplated with admiration and awe this extraordinary type of man, a type of man unknown to our numerous painters who have given form and figure to all the gods and heroes. There was nothing about him that was repelling in its character, yet I felt too awed and tremulous to approach him. Isu, said I unto him at last, and my tongue faltered, Isu of Nazareth, for the last 3 years I have granted you ample freedom of speech, nor do I regret it. Your words are those of a sage. I know not whether you have read Socrates or Plato, but this I know, there is in your discourses a majestic simplicity that elevates you far above these philosophers. Your blood shall not be spilt, said I with deep emotion. You are now precious in my estimation on account of your wisdom, that all the turbulent and proud Pharisees who abuse the freedom granted them by the Romans. They conspire against Caesar and convert his bounty into fear, impressing the unlearned that Caesar is a tyrant and seeks their ruin. Insolent wretches, they are not aware that the word of the Tiber sometimes clothes himself. They are not aware that the wold of the Tiber sometimes clothes himself with the skin of the sheep to accomplish his wicked designs. I will protect you against them. My praetorium shall be an asylum, sacred both day and night. Isu carelessly shook his head. I am your most obedient servant, Pontius Pilate. Thank you, M., for perhaps others will now go seek further information and confirmation that we are not here to feed you more lies upon those already bringing you to the point of destruction. You will note that as the history of this time in passage is written, our work will be despoiled and mistranslated, but remaining will be the truth as set to print for later finding. We, too, will cease to bear the mark of Caesar's enemy, for we are not about Caesar and enemies. We are about our Father's work. I think it appropriate to interrupt the writing at this point to allow you to ponder on the points. We have a meeting this afternoon, and I must release Dharma to her tasks.
You choose to not read the next.
You speak up. As we sit to write again, we will probably move back to the clandestine, for I have now gained personal permission to publish other material of urgent importance. Then, as we continue, we need to cover more on this divine plan and evolvement of man as you know him and God as you don't know him. Blessings rest upon you, ones of truth. Salut, Haton de Clear.
Thank you. I had a reason for needing to have that information. I apologize for having to abruptly withdraw. I have great threats against my scribe this day. I'm going to ask you, Oberly, to please leave the equipment when we're ready to depart the room and get her out of here. I will give you instructions as to where to go at that time. We have, as always, a lot of bombardment from the various and sundry clandestine operations and operators. You see, the adversary knows the plan. We don't quiver in our boots or try to go about hiding what we are, who we are, or basically where we are. Because as that just stated, you render under Caesar that which is Caesar's, and you better know the difference in that which is God's. And those actions required of you to be among the flock. And I would say where Oberly stumbled, I have to apologize. I didn't finish writing in time for him to even peruse it and make corrections on the typographical errors. The word was wolf. You know, the wolf in sheep's clothing. I welcome wolves in sheep's clothing, because I see through the wool, and you ones must learn to do so also. A lot of exceptionally strong and loyal and good workers come within this fold and risk everything they have to pull away, not only from their past experiences, but to move forward in a new thrust in basically God's service. And sometimes these ones are not allowed to see beyond the moment, if you will. Seems interesting enough for a space commander to suddenly begin to transmit when you've already seen spacecraft and know they exist because of what you did before. We don't withhold those kinds of confirmations, precious ones, from everyone like I do from Dharma or some of you ones. Many of you ones come here because you've actually witnessed. Some around this very village got pulled to this village because they don't know why. But they're going to find that in their memory banks, when they can remember, they will have encountered us. And we're pretty relentless. When we know that one has been sent there for service, we'll make blame sure they have an interesting little encounter somewhere around some corner somewhere at some time. And then when the word begins to filter through, they know. I couldn't do that with my scribe, as a for instance. That means I couldn't do it with her spouse or some of you other ones. You can give confirmation, yes, but you must not you have to understand these ones must not operate on the basis of even visual confirmation. They have to realize that within they have been trained to serve, and they must serve on that basis, unknowing. Unknowing. And they have to come to trust us enough to know that when I say, get her out of here, it's dangerous. Is it dangerous from within this room? No. That's why I got pulled away. They're always the ones who are going to make their little attempts. It's not even, as far as I'm concerned, serious. Because by the time the word makes its cycle, it'll be shut down anyway. But I want you ones to have healthy respect and not just say, oh, well, that's bunk and they can take care of that. If they were who they say they are, they can take care of that. Yes, we can. But of all the ones on the face of this planet who must bear responsibility for actions, it is you. Not Hatton, you. Because you represent the ground crew. And I can take off for the Thule's and you won't even know where I went. And you're stuck. So you have to become consciously trusting of that link between us. That I'm not going to leave you. I have to, in turn, require that sometimes you just act on my voice that just says, do this, please. I will explain later. I will, whatever explanation I give you, always check it, make sure it's still the lighted source, and then act. But if you ones are working under the misperception that somehow you're going to be floated out of every difficult situation you barge yourself into, you'd better think very carefully because you will not be. And ones of you who are thinking of doing some things after having made commitments and arrangements, for instance, to be here, and suddenly someone else suggests something else, or maybe, or you become very insecure in whatever it was you thought you were doing, don't ever misunderstand and think that I will hold you. I won't. Because if you are so undecided, and most of the time, ones who are the most insecure and the most undecided will put on the front of the most secure and knowing. Having experienced here, there, everywhere, with various groups. Well, I learned to meditate with the Timbuktu Society. I'm very happy for you. And if through that lesson, you have learned to connect with inner self to God. Blessings be upon Timbuktu. You must be discerning. And then you have no problem. Because when you discern with the facts against which to measure what is going on, you'll be able to have every tool you need right at hand. It's right there. And if those ones deviate from the truth, I didn't say as Hatton gives it. My effort is to give it within those laws. And most people don't like it. Because other things have been voted in, and it seems to me that God would do this. No, I don't have the privilege of it seeming to me that God would do this. I know the laws, and I know that God says this, and those are my instructions. Well, do you just do everything that somebody tells you to do? No, but I do what God tells me to do, and I act within the laws of creation. Well, see, you just mamby-pamby up to anybody. No. Those laws are filled with reason, logic, and they are good. If you follow those laws, they are good. They are godly. And they produce the kinds of people I want on my ship, and the rest won't be allowed aboard. Oh, now you are going to play God. No, I'm not going to play God. Aboard my ship, and who comes aboard? I am God. Please. Just as if you walked into a motion picture theater, or you name it, there are going to be some rules. And if you want to go through that door, you are going to abide by their rules, or you're going to stay on the other side. Nobody says you have to do it. I mean, let us just take a restaurant that says, no shirt, no shoes, no food. You have every right to wear no shoes, no shirt, and they have every right to give you no food. Now, your government and the ADL will come forth and say that you are an anti-Semite because you can't go in and you won't let somebody in without shirt and shoes, and it's against your constitutional rights. What about the owner and his constitutional rights? You've forgotten those. You have taken away, under the guise of these lies, all reason, all respect for man as his God self. You've made a bunch of rules. And you go vote it in, and then you get mad at the Supreme Court, no matter what they do. But the Supreme Court, you just have to understand, is also now totally fixed. You don't have a just law in your land. You have a political group who can enforce their laws. And the Supreme Court was never made to enforce their laws, because they were never, never to make law, only interpret. And their interpretation could be overridden by Congress. So you've forgotten. And through your years of training by the adversary, it's hardly even a vague memory. You kind of know how it ought to be, but then it was more interesting to watch what were these three little cute twinkle toes who went around as the angels? Farrah Fawcett. And then that was boring. So then you had to go to Miami Vice, where we shoot everybody. And then you wonder why in the world you would have a little violence on your streets. And then it's easier to say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't affect ones. How could it not affect ones? Part of it is that you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed to have not the strength to stand against the multitude. It's like the little child that comes home and says, everybody's doing it, Mother. Boy, it's hard. I don't make light of that, either for the child or the parent. But that's what it's about. Everybody's doing it. And Jody's mother lets her do it. And all the ones in the PTA say it's okay. They even voted in at the PTA and the Teachers Association in conjunction to pass out condoms in the first grade. Everybody's doing it, Mother. And what are you supposed to do? Isolate your child into a ridicule position by all those everyones who now are forced to do it? A child cannot be a child. An eighth grade boy has to go perform like 007. Both in some clandestine bed situation with some little child who doesn't have any idea what has happened to her. But it's okay. If you forget the condom and you should get pregnant, it's perfectly all right without parental permission to have an abortion. Let's just kill it. Don't you think we understand what a heinous position God's people are in? And don't you think we understand how you give up? And when you give up, forgive yourself, because it is incredible. And most of you do not even come into any kind of vision of what's happening or how to handle it until you're older. Now try to go back and repair it. After your children are already making these same horrible blunders with their babies. And you try that three generations and it's lost. We do not come to change your system. You will change it through the word or it won't be changed. So it looks like it's going to go into total decay, doesn't it, before it can be changed. So don't look for magic. Be prepared for the fall and in the growing up through in the reclamation. As souls come into their attachment with God and the pressures are relieved from these babies for performance in an already evil environment, to perform in an evil manner, alien to their very personalities, why do you think they go kill themselves? They know it is not right. And the pressure brought to bear on these babies. I'd like to repeat the story of the reporter, the journalist, who literally worked with the blacks. And a white journalist with him. They were both white. And they come to the gathering, a gathering, and they are waiting in a line. And there is this beautiful child of maybe 3 years old, 2.5 to 3. And this man bent down on his knee and he said, "My, you are beautiful." And she said, "Don't you talk to me, you white honky. I hate you." If that doesn't bring pain to your heart, I can't imagine what would. and this would be the same type of person who would listen to Ross Perot, who is talking to his audience, who are black and Hispanic. He's trying to relate to them. As foolish as it might be, it never crossed his mind. He was talking to his audience, just as I would talk to you in here. You and yours are going to be had out of this situation, precious ones. Does that mean you are black, green, purple, and I am Snow White? Because you've got damn near an albino when you talk to me. That is a minority. And 9.5 feet tall doesn't cut it either. But because I'm white, does that make me greater? No, nothing makes me greater. Knowledge makes me wiser. That's all. That's all. That is all the difference there is in us. And until we learn that, there can't be peace on this place. And that pretty much infers there won't be peace on your place, your place, for a long time. I've got peace on my place. And that's a lesson that you and yours are going to have to tell to those out there. And you ask me, how do you tell them? Well, you don't go and say some 9.5 foot albino told you. You go say, look around you. These are the truths that are coming out. Why don't you take a look at it? They're not trying to fight a system. They don't have a big cause. We have the only cause. We have God. And if ones don't wish to believe us, then they weren't of us anyway. Remember that. When a friend knifes you in the back, I want to tell you something. That was not a friend. And if a friend turns away from you when you try to speak what's in your heart, that is not a friend. I guarantee you, if you were speaking to him about giving him half of your $1 million lottery winnings, he would listen. So put things in perspective. And there's no purpose in sensationalizing something. It won't be long before enough of the brotherhood will be showing up and making appearance. That's not going to be strange. But quite frankly, we don't want to be bombarded with ones coming in because, this is the New Deal. The ones in service must come into service under the old deal. And there's no magic to insight. A man can be transformed in the blink of an eye. He does not come into knowing until he does his homework and knows what's going on and what's happened, so that then he can remember what he was. It's been buried from you. If you never heard of the Sumerian text, how can you go back and be a Sumerian? And that's what they're talking about. Elohims and Nephilims. Coming forth on your place. God and God's people. In Christ's light. I didn't say Jesus. You can't put a label on that Christ. Because that's the same one that shows up everywhere around. And nobody's going to have a corner on God. Not you, not me. Because I don't have any more of it than you do. I just listen to mine. And I recognize the power that comes with it. And you'll have a heck of a lot less trouble getting what you want, regardless of what it is, when you accept that power. The facts are, as you come into the enlightened acceptance of that power, you won't want those things that you thought you had to have. They take on less and less and less and less concern to you. as you realize the fun and the journey and the excitement and the pulling out of boredom and enslavement comes with this kind of recognition and this kind of experience. You think it's fun to go puddle jumping in a little Cessna 210? You ain't seen nothing. And you think it's exciting if your motor fails? You ought to try a spacecraft with no motor. Talk about adrenaline pumping. The interesting thing about a spacecraft for you pilots is that when our motor fails, we go zip. Just as I've told you, look at the opposite effect. Man, I want to tell you, that photon system speeds up. And you can just become invisible right fast. So we're in the effort of merging two sets of mindset. I'm not interested in your physical world. But you have to be the physical expression. Not of some space cadet, but of God. So that you can hear the instructions. It doesn't help if you just go out and continue doing the things that are already wrong. And when one's threatened me, well, if you're going to talk like this, I'm just going to go. Precious ones, nothing stops you. If you do not believe, or you cannot be open-minded enough to witness or listen until it makes some kind of sense to you, then you shouldn't be here. It is only going to bring you pain. And you're going to go out and you're going to make statements that before you finish this experience, you would be extremely sorry that you made. And if you cut that cord so strongly and so emphatically without at least a maybe, that egg on the face is going to cake and it won't come off with even a good dishwasher. And you put yourself in a position of not being able to come back. Not that you're not welcome back, but you will be too embarrassed to come back. It is a great test of the ego to be incorrect and come back and say, I was wrong. But don't misunderstand. And this I speak to you, children and adults alike. It's nice manners if you have offended someone to say, I'm sorry. But let's face it, most of the time when you are told to say, I'm sorry, you are neither sorry nor going to change your mind about what you just did. But to please your parent or the elite, you're going to say, I'm sorry, and that ends it. But it hasn't changed a thing. I still think you're a fink. But I'm sorry I said it. And usually that's pretty honest after, you know, the paddle comes out and you go apologize. Just like Mr. Perot. I've got the heavy board over your head, Perot. You go apologize to those people at NAACP. Oh, well, if I offended him, I'm sorry. Well, as a matter of fact, he really is. He's not sorry he said it. He's sorry he offended them. So the better part of intelligence may be until you know and have studied every word we put forth, it's better not to make a conclusion set in cement. I don't even want ones in my service setting a conclusion in cement that just says, I know Hatton is always right, because I will test that. And I just may very well.